If you're looking for a place where the wide open skies and the towering mountains inspire you to find an untapped part of yourself, you might want to take a trip to Wyoming. It's a place where bold, curious spirits forge their own way on all types of adventures. There is no shortage of iconic, expansive landscapes out there. You can discover breathtaking hikes, stunning state parks, authentic Western culture, and other historic sites, along with the tales of famous outlaws like Butch Cassidy and pioneers like Buffalo Bill Cody. The truth lies west. Discover yours at TravelWyoming.com.
Travel is great, but planning for travel can be time-consuming and difficult. That's where One Travel comes in. With One Travel, you'll find everything you need to book the perfect trip. Flights, hotels, cars, transportation, it's all right there. With One Travel, you can book online, via app, or even pick up the phone and talk to a travel advisor ready to help you make your selections. Visit onetravel.com/music or call 855-437-2154. Plan it, book it, live it. One Travel.
Hey folks, Dylan here again. This week, we are taking a week of vacation because it is summer. And so we're playing you summer-themed episodes from our archives, but we also hope that these inspire you to share some of your best summer travel stories. Let us know about your crazy road trip disasters, about your best places you ever stumbled upon, about that weird person you met on that trip. You know, all that stuff. To do that, leave us a voicemail at 315-992-7902. It'll cut you off after about 3 minutes, but you can also send us a voice memo of any length. Well, not any length, like a reasonable length. I don't know, 20 minutes, whatever. To hello@atlasobscura.com. We cannot wait to hear your stories. And this story that you're about to hear came to us from a listener last summer. On to the episode. Today, I wanted to share a voicemail that sent me down a bit of a rabbit hole, a really giant rabbit hole.
Hi, this is Sean Small. I remember this story because I'm up in the middle of nowhere, Iowa, where I was raised as a kid. And I was about 3 or 4 years old when my dad took me to the Fort Dodge Museum. The Fort Dodge Museum was a recreation of a Civil War era fort in kind of north central Iowa. He was very excited about bringing me to this museum, and it had a few old cabins, an old schoolhouse, an old church, and I don't remember much until my dad took me to the very back of the fort. And in the very back of the fort, kind of right outside of the walls, there was a little octagonal building. And it was separated off from everything else. And I remember as a little kid going up the steps, and my dad told me that this building contained a giant, a petrified giant. And he painted the picture that this was a real petrified giant. And when he took me in, you go around a wall, and there was this 10-plus foot gigantic stone petrified man laying there, and everything about it was bigger than usual. I mean, everything. And I just sat there amazed. My dad had the biggest smile on his face, and he just kept telling me this was a real giant. And something lodged into my little brain at that time that giants were real.
So first off, this is just one of the great joys of parenthood, which is just lying to your children. But, I mean, it reminds me of just being a kid. And, you know, you're always sort of in this magical, creative space. You're always kind of making up stories about the places you go. Kids, by nature, they're always sort of testing the boundaries of what is real and unreal and trying to figure out what's true and not true. Is Santa real or is something my parents are telling me? And when kids, in the course of some very unexciting thing that their parents want them to do, like, for example, go to a Civil War museum, when kids are suddenly confronted with something that fits their world of imagination and shows them that, yes, in fact, giants are real, it all kind of snaps into place. Like, of course there's a giant. How could there not be a giant? But I should say that for this particular stone giant, it definitely wasn't just kids who were buying into this. I had heard of the giant before, but this voicemail gave me a chance to dig a little farther into the story. It all started back in 1868 with a guy named George Hall. And George was a cigar maker and a big-time entrepreneur in upstate New York. In 1868, he went on a trip to Fort Dodge. The story goes that George Hall got into a fierce argument with a preacher. And the preacher had read a line from the Bible that says, there were giants in the earth in those days. Yeah, the Bible's got a lot of throwaway lines like this. And so the preacher insisted that this was, in fact, quite literally true. And George Hall was a vocal atheist. And so he challenged the preacher about these giants. And after he had this argument, he started to form an idea. What George Hall did is that he found a nearby quarry and he tried to buy a huge chunk of gypsum. And the story goes that he couldn't convince the quarry owner to sell him the stone because Hall's story about what he wanted to do with it kept changing. Real shifty, like, yeah, I need it, you know, for some steps, yeah. Anyway, he found a guy who eventually, for the right price, was willing to go into the quarry and cut out a 5-ton block of stone. And once George had this block of gypsum, he took it on a road trip. Hall had the rock shipped all the way to Chicago, where he hired artists to carve it into a true giant. And the artist then even used sulfuric acid to age this piece of rock, to make it look ancient. George then had this finished, aged giant shipped to upstate New York to his brother-in-law, Stubb Newell, who had a farm in Cardiff, not too far from Syracuse. And together, they buried this giant deep into the ground. And come 1 year later, George's brother-in-law, Stubb, had some neighbors come over and help him dig a well. Let's say, right over there. Yeah, that's the spot. Turns out, they struck something. They kept digging, and lo and behold, together, they unearthed this giant, petrified man. People lost their freaking minds. They also managed to turn a little bit of a profit. George and his brother-in-law, Stubb, they charged people 50 cents to see the giant, which is almost 20 bucks today. But, I mean, I can imagine I would pay $20 to see what seemed to be a real giant. And it was such a big cash cow that who came to buy it? I just, like, this is such a who's who of mid-1800s. P.T. Barnum shows up to try and buy it off of George. And when George wouldn't sell it, P.T. Barnum pulls a real P.T. Barnum and makes his own version of the giant and claims that George's was the knockoff. Of course, within a few months, the Cardiff giant was outed as an absolute hoax. The jig was up, but only kind of, because people still wanted to see this fake giant that had fooled all these people. So the giant became known instead as the Cardiff Giant, as Old Hoaxy, which is just the best possible name. And Old Hoaxy traveled across the U.S., visiting state fairs and carnivals and even the 1901 World's Fair. And for this grand prank of his, George Hall made the equivalent of about $700,000. Ah, but here is the rub. He got greedy. Within a decade, having already been clearly outed as a trickster, he went to Colorado where he claimed to find the remains of a 7-foot-tall man. This one had a tail, so he changed it up a little bit. And, like, people were not having it. So he actually lost a ton of money and died in obscurity in 1902. The Cardiff Giant itself was owned by a series of private collectors, and they used it for a number of things, including as a coffee table, which, like, rude. But in 1948, the New York State Historical Association was able to purchase the giant. But here is the thing. The giant wasn't made in New York. It was carved of Fort Dodge gypsum. And so some people in Iowa, in Fort Dodge, they wanted the stone giant to come home. They wanted their own stone giant. And they didn't have the money to buy the original back, but they did have a lot of gypsum. So in the 1970s, a local sculptor named Cliff Carlson got to work. And the artist said that as he took his chisel to the gypsum, the stone simply fell away, revealing a giant toe. And a few more hits revealed a giant foot. And so I suppose technically that's not a lie. It's sort of a metaphor about the artistic process. But in the end, they had uncovered their own Fort Dodge giant. And from what I can tell, it seems like our caller, Sean, probably got in at the ground floor with this Fort Dodge replica. Like this had just gone on display when he saw it. But it didn't matter whether it was the Cardiff giant or a replica. All that mattered was this museum had a giant stone man in it, and that his father winked at him and said, that is absolutely real. And it inspired this sense of awe and curiosity for Sean that he said went way beyond just his childhood.
I have since revisited. I'm older now, and now I'm 50-some years old, and I actually went and visited the giants again today. I have to go by and say hi like it's an old friend. That image never left my head, and it actually made me obsessed with oddities in general. I am one of the Atlas Obscura founding members.
So I should say, we started in 2020 a membership program for people who wanted to kind of go deeper with Atlas, see more of what we do, get special access to events and experiences. And so I want to thank Sean for joining that membership program. And we share, Sean and I, and I think Atlas Obscura members in general, this kind of joy in finding a giant in the corner of a Civil War museum. This is why you always go to, like, the weird county historical museum. There's a really good chance that somewhere in one of the exhibits is going to be something that you are going to say, how is this possibly here? So, Sean, I can't tell you how much it means to me that you told us this story and it inspired a lifetime of curiosity. And I'm so glad that you're keeping in touch with your friend, the giant. Thank you for this story, and thank you to all of our listeners and callers for telling us your stories and being part of Atlas Obscura. Of course, we love hearing from all of you. Our lines are open. Whether you're exploring a giant in a Civil War museum or your own county's historical society, we want to hear about it. Record a voice memo and send it to us at hello@atlasobscura.com or call and leave us a message at 315-992-7902. That's hello@atlasobscura.com or 315-992-7902. Our podcast is a co-production of Atlas Obscura and Witness Docs. This episode was produced by Katie Thornton, whom I call the giant of Minneapolis. And I'm Dylan Thuris, wishing you all the wonder in the world. I'll talk to you soon.
Witness Docs from Stitcher.
Travel is great, but planning for travel can be time-consuming and difficult. That's where One Travel comes in. With One Travel, you'll find everything you need to book the perfect trip. Flights, hotels, cars, transportation, it's all right there. With One Travel, you can book online, via app, or even pick up the phone and talk to a travel advisor ready to help you make your selections. Visit onetravel.com/music or call 855-437-2154. Plan it, book it, live it. One Travel.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 bacon bundle. because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the bacon cheese slider, 1921 bacon cheese slider, or chicken bacon ranch slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 bacon bundle. White Castle. Follow your crave.